Funding for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided by Hawaiian Legacy Reforestation Initiative.
Pay it forward, give back. Those are two phrases that are central to NASA JPL scientist Tom Nolan's life. Tom's life was propelled and gelled when he was a kid, when he attended St. Vincent de Paul's summer camp back in the early 1960s. Enamored with the stars, trees, and wildlife, his camp experience propelled his quest to study science and to eventually earn a degree in marine biology from the University of Southern California in 1977. But a parallel quest in Nolan's life is to share his faith and incredible enthusiasm and love of life with kids. And that's why Nolan returned to the St. Vincent de Paul summer camp in the hills above Santa Barbara, California. Come along and join us as Nolan shares his spirit-driven life, his love of science, and his mission to inoculate kids with a never-flagging curiosity of life. Nolan refers to himself as a wondering wanderer.
Scheduled to come out and be with you today.
I see a lot of you have some rockets in your hands, and I want you to launch your life starting today. And who's going to launch it is you and your passion and your enthusiasm and your curiosity. That's what's going to make your life special. When you turn 50 years old and you're curious, you're still going to be learning new things. When you're 100 years old, you're still going to be curious and learn new things. I want you to be lifelong learners and always go for it, okay? I'm proud of what my generation has done, but what you guys are going to do is fascinating. You're going to go so far with your careers and who you are. Most of all, I want you to be good people. That starts everything. Take care of each other. Take care of the planet. And from there, you'll launch your life. You'll be good husbands and wives and mothers and fathers and grandparents. And I know you don't believe it. You'll be great-grandparents someday. And all that life, you can be wonderfully pleased by always looking for the good in others. Always be looking for why things and how things happen. When you're on your way and you notice and observe things, that's a treasure you have forever. It's free. I was a poor kid. I didn't have much. My mom taught me to look and appreciate the tree. Look and appreciate the lawn. Look and appreciate the people. And that's free for everybody, right? Every one of us has a chance today to help somebody else. That's free, right? You don't need money to help somebody. And I guarantee you, if you go through life helping somebody every single day, you'll live a rich life. So I give you my love. I give you my encouragement. I give you my faith in God that He made you wonderfully and that you are a blessing to this earth. And I want you to go out and bless it, okay? Bless it with your life. Thank you.
I'm Tom Nolan with NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory. We're here at the Circle V Ranch Camp, sponsored by the Society of St. Vincent de Paul. We have 181 campers here this week, all doing a Lost in Space week, and I'm so thankful they're up here. And I brought 8 people with me from NASA and USC and Huntington Beach High School, and we're all sharing the passion and enthusiasm we have for science with these young campers. The advantage to our sharing is that they can be lifelong learners, that as we show them the thrill and excitement of curiosity, of asking questions, that inside each of them is a scientist. That's why we're here, because someone sparked us. And the way that we pay that person back that sparked us is to teach these kids.
What I find most touching, it's a full circle. Here you are back, and it's on your own volition, and it has everything to do with giving back, with sharing, with imparting to that next generation. Talk philosophy for a moment.
When I was in college, my mom died, and I was devastated. And I had a wonderful boss who just cared for me and mentored me through those years of college. And when he retired, I said, "How can I ever repay you?" And he looked me squarely in the eye and said, "When some young man or woman walks up to you and says, 'Can I want you to say yes.' And you paid me back in full." And I've remembered that lesson from when I was 20 years old, Now I'm 61, and I remember that lesson of when someone comes and say, can I? My answer is yes.
Wow, no matter what.
No matter what it is.
That's pretty powerful.
Everyone wants to help these kids. Mm-hmm. The kids just have to ask. No one's going to come to them on their couch where they're playing their Xbox and say, hey, would you like an opportunity? But the opportunities are out there. If they go out and say, may I, can I, or how do you do this, and say, come on, kid, I'll teach you. Most people will say yes, not everybody, but most will say, if you ask enough times, you will find yes and yes and yes and yes. And that weaves together this braided life of great adventure. Mm-hmm. You don't know what life's going to bring, but the people will bring it to you. And I just love that caring and sharing that pays it forward. As people invested in me, I have to pay them back and invest in them. Love is given to us, not for us to keep. It must be given away. The same is true of education. People gave me a great education. I have to pass that along.
You know, along the journey of life, I think there are many people that we remember that had that but lost it. Mm-hmm. How did you not ever lose that path?
That's a wonderful question. I have had lots of failures in life, and you can get knocked down by it, or it can make you stronger. And I don't know why the difference. I have people in my family that it has crushed. And I have people in my family that have blossomed and risen as a phoenix from that. And I don't know why. I love them all, but we all respond differently.
Do you think that some of it can be a genetic component?
I think there is genetics. There are issues of mental illness in my family that certainly was passed along that have caused some of the troubles. And I wish that we would cure those. If I were Bill Gates or Warren Buffett, I'd put my money into mental illness because, man, we don't know anything about it. We all have struggles in our head. And so let's help people. A lot of people are on the streets, not because they belong on the streets, but they're not able to figure it out. And we want to help these. Some of the kids here have lives that are pretty shambly at home. And to give them something stable, that's what I want to do with everybody. But I think the other part of it is my faith, that when bad things happen, that's not the end of it. That good is coming. There's a light at the end of that tunnel. And I've really had my faith to believe in that, that God made me for a reason and to do things and to experience things. And there's more to come. Mm-hmm. It's not over. So no matter how dark it is now, when you hit the bottom, there's only one way. You got to go up.
But there are those moments when you can't see the light at the end of the tunnel.
And that's where the faith comes in and sustains me through that moment that is dark. And my human mind, my human experience says, there's no way out. And yet my faith says, there is a way out. And just keep true and keep faithful and be good, and it will work out. And my life has been that way. I'm very thankful for the moments that are hard, because that's where I grow. If life is all easy and I'm in a perfect garden with fertilizer and sun and all the shade I need and all the sun I need, I'm not growing. But in the tough times when I'm on that craggy, rocky side of the hill, that's where I'm going to grow. And so I didn't know that when I was young. So the hardships are where I've grown. And now I look forward to, if the hardship comes, I like comfort, but when the hardship comes, there's a purpose to it. Yeah. And that's where the faith carries me and sustains me through.
And again, actualizing your passion and your mission, that has a lot to do with why you are here today.
We feed off each other's energy. The great people that taught me, my mentors, had enthusiasm. And I hope to bring that to these kids too, that I love what I do. Mm-hmm. It's not a job. I mean, it's work, absolutely. And it gets frustrating because a lot of what we do is impossible. We don't figure it out until we figure it out. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of pain along the way there. But I want to get across them the enthusiasm and the blessing of life, that it's a joy. And sometimes it's hard and sometimes it's easy, but we're all here to help others. And I find I'm happiest when I'm helping kids. I'm happiest when I feed the homeless. I'm happiest when I go sing in Men's Central Jail for Mass. When I'm giving away, that makes me feel good. So the more I do, the better I feel.
Tell us, before we go, Tom, what you do at JPL.
I came to JPL in the late 90s for the El Nino, doing satellite oceanography. And so since then, I've been there 17 years now at this point and going to stay for many more. But I've been able to fly mostly earth science instruments studying Earth from space. So rather than being on ship where I learned about one little spot of the ocean, the satellites fly, and they every 90 minutes makes a complete orbit of the Earth. Every 10 days, I get a new view, entire globe, whatever instrument's on that satellite. So I've been on many instruments learning about the Earth from space. I've also done the Mars rovers, the image processing of them. So I was the first person on Earth to see the image from Mars. As the rover would send it up to the LRO Lunar Reconnaissance Orbiter, and it would beam it to Earth, it would come to Earth, and I'd get up in the morning, and I would see the first one to see those images, and I would through the computer programs to get ready for the navigation science team. They would come in a little bit later. And I just realized that got to be a job, And I had to stop and say, wait a minute, what are you looking at? You're looking at a planet that's 350 million miles away. Mm-hmm. And you're the first person on Earth to get to see these images that have come down. How'd I get to be this? How did that happen to me? Yeah. And only at a place like JPL can a dolphin trainer become a satellite jockey to become the person that images, you know, processes images from Mars. And now I'm on the moon, mapping the moon for the next landing. What mineralogy is there? And then I'm also looking at Earth for their disasters and change the Earth's surface. And I'm able to run the instruments that tell us that data of what's going on Earth.
You obviously keep up with meteorology and El Nino and climate change. What's your prognosis?
A lot of people think of NASA as being astronauts in Mars and outer space, but 20% of NASA's budget is Earth science. At JPL, 30% of our budget is Earth science. We have a huge climate center because we're working with government and entities trying to give them the data they need to make good choices. Without the data, you can't make good choices. So we're providing that data, interpreting the data, working with the institution on how to say what's going on. The idea of global warming is just a fact. You measure a temperature and it's warming. We've been warming up since the Ice Age. So global warming is going on for 11,000 years and it runs in these cycles. But right now we're in a warming period and the struggle is what's going on is have we pushed the Earth further than it's ever been? So we go back and we measure 450,000 years of history in the ice core. And I can show you five global warming periods and five global cooling periods. The warming is a 10,000 year cycle and the cooling is 100,000 years. I don't know why, but that's what the pattern's been. So now we've pushed the Earth further to be warmer than it's ever been. So how long will it take for us to recover from that? And that's the concern. So being a good steward of the Earth that God made so beautifully and that works so beautifully, and we're a part of it. We are a part of this Earth and belong here. How can we do better to take care of it in a better way? So we have to watch what our water's doing. California's in a drought now. We have to watch what we're doing with our atmospheres, our oceans, and our sky. And with each other, we have to take care of each other. Global climate issues affect the poor much worse than they do the rich people. If I have an oasis, the rich person, the bully, is going to come along, not necessarily rich, but the bully is going to come along and knock me off my oasis, put me out in the desert and say, you refugee, you go live out there because I got the big gun. We can't do that to each other anymore. Every resource is owned by every person on Earth, and we have to share it. It's not an issue of how much, it's a matter of sharing. So I hope to get across to people through the work at NASA, through the work at the church, through the work of the camp here, is take care of each other. That I can't disobey the seventh commandment, thou shalt not steal. And if I bully somebody, I'm stealing from them. And so that oasis is ours. That water's theirs. And so the fact that people don't have food or water is a problem that is sharing. And we've got to find a way to solve that. And it's not mine versus you, but it's ours to share.
Looking forward, what excites you the most? What is the positive challenge in your life?
I'm very proud of my generation. In my 60s, I still have several more good years to go, and I'm proud of what we've done. 100 years ago, the Wright brothers flew for the first time in humanity. 66 years later, Neil Armstrong put his boot on the moon. In less than one lifetime, in 66 years, from never flying to being on the moon, what an amazing gift that we have as humans to figure it out, that we can do these things. So what's going to thrill me going ahead is I'm proud of my generation, but I'm going to be an old man in my rocking chair looking at these kids and what they're going to do. I'm fascinated and thrilled by what they're going to do with this world. And I'm going to sit in that rocking chair going, go, baby, go. Go, baby, go. Go, baby, go. Because I'm just excited by their world is happening so fast and they're so quick at it that they're adapting and doing great strides forward.
When you interact and you're with the young kids today, you're optimistic.
I'm absolutely optimistic because you'll never see these kids on the news. All you see on the news is bad stuff. But these kids are wonderful. And you watch them get turned on. You watch them get excited about something.
And these are primarily inner city kids. Poor kids for the most part.
Yeah. And there's a gift in every human being. It doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter what side of the tracks you're on or what your race is or whatever, gender. You're all beautifully made, and we all have a gift, and to appreciate that gift and to rise that gift up in us and recognize it. These kids in every eye is future, and the kids in every eye is I want to turn them on to the possibilities, and don't let anybody hold them back. People will tell them you can't. People will tell them no. That's impossible. That's absolutely impossible that you should let someone do that, but they do. So don't listen to them. Listen to people say, yes, you can. Listen to people say, yes, it's hard. Go ahead anyway. Do the hard stuff. Go ahead and just be great people. And that's what I see in all these 180 campers here. I see great people with a great future. I don't know where they're going to go, but I know they're a blessing. Today, tomorrow, in 100 years, they'll be a blessing.
You know what, Tom? We're going to have to do part two, and I'm going to come down and see you at JPL.
Great.
So we'll do a part two, Tom Nolan. But for now, we're out of time, and sadly so. It has been an absolute honor and a pleasure to visit with you.
I think that the honor is in human beings sharing and caring, and that can go on anywhere. And with NPR and the ability to share what you do, you're a blessing, and I'm thankful for NPR Radio. I'm thankful for you in my life, Tom, because we just met today, but I'm already richer. Thank you.
That's mutual. God bless.
Thank you. God bless you, too.
We've been speaking with Tom Nolan, operations engineer at JPL, Jet Propulsion Laboratory, California, Institute of Technology, Pasadena, California. I'm Tom Wilmer, reporting from Santa Barbara County.
Funding for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided by Hawaiian Legacy Reforestation Initiative.
Hawaiian Legacy Hardwoods and Four Seasons Resort invite you to sponsor a legacy tree and contribute to the biodiversity of Hawaii. Legacy trees can honor an individual, commemorate an event, or memorialize a loved one. Every tree dedication is a living legacy and a gift which grows grander year after year. The best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago. The second best time is now.
The Hawaiian Legacy Reforestation Initiative was recently awarded the prestigious Phoenix Award by the Society of American Travel Writers. HLRI was one of four recipients of the prestigious award that recognizes international organizations actively involved in conservation, preservation, beautification, and anti-pollution campaigns that further the growth and appeal of travel destinations.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show, Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a weekly featured podcast on NPR.org, produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. Our San Francisco-based associate producer is Molly Blaisdell, covering the San Francisco Bay Area, the island of Maui, and the South Pacific. Our Wisconsin-based associate producer is Julie Henning,